Hi, I'm your host, Brad Riddle. I'd be forever grateful if you'd subscribe to have this podcast sent to your inbox each week. Just visit grumpybuck.com, that's G-R-U-M-P-Y-B-U-C-K, like the deer, .com. Find Sports Wax Podcast in the menu, go to the page, enter your email, and you're on the list. It only takes a moment. Also, if you know someone who loves sports and sports history, please share this podcast with them. It would make my day. Netflix has stolen my thunder just a little bit, addressing this week's topic in an 8-part documentary. But, as a lifelong fan of this team, I still feel like I have a unique perspective on something that happened when I was a kid. I hope you enjoy.
This will truly be an interesting week in the National Football League. The owners will convene and meet in Dallas, Texas, beginning Tuesday. We presume it'll be a 3-day meeting. They will talk about a new commissioner. Jim Finks still appears to be the leader. They will talk about trades when it comes to the Dallas Cowboys. The Cowboys need players. Walsh now has to play with Aikman hurt. The guy who can really bring in players would be a trade with Herschel Walker.
It's October 8th, 1989. The Dallas Cowboys are playing the Green Bay Packers at Lambeau Field. There are 2 minutes left in the game, and the Packers are just obliterating the Cowboys, 31-13. The Cowboys are just terrible. They're 0-4, about to go 0-5, and on Thursday, they're going to trade their best player. Herschel Walker won the Heisman Trophy at Georgia, where he rushed for more than 5,000 career yards. After college, he signed with the USFL's New Jersey Generals, who gave him a $5 million contract, which was a lot of money at the time. After the USFL went defunct, Walker signed with the Dallas Cowboys. In 1988, he rushed for 1,500 plus yards and made the Pro Bowl for the second consecutive season. But now, early in the 1989 season, the Cowboys are shopping him around. Here in Green Bay, he's rushed for just 44 yards on 12 carries. Fittingly, his last play for Dallas ends in a turnover, an interception in the end zone on a pass that was meant for Herschel Walker.
Walsh goes for it all. This is Walker. Intercepted. Tiger Green made the interception.
But let this be a lesson for anyone who's feeling down on their NFL team ahead of this season. Trust me when I tell you, your team can go from 0-5 and trading your best player to hoisting the Lombardi Trophy in no time flat. This is Sports Wax, a weekly documentary where we explore sports stories from yesteryear, memories of players, coaches, and games that take us back in time. Welcome to episode 11, How About Them Cowboys?
In 1966, the Cowboys dazzled the Eastern Conference with their speed and went flat out to a title. From their ends and defensive backs to their linemen, the Cowboys terrorized the NFL with sheer speed.
Major League Baseball has the Yankees. The NBA has the Boston Celtics. From the late 60s to the early 80s, the NFL had the Dallas Cowboys, the league's flagship franchise. From 1966 to 1982, a span of 17 seasons, the Cowboys made the playoffs 16 times. They appeared in 12 conference title games, they advanced to 5 Super Bowls, and they won the Lombardi Trophy twice. Not once did they finish with a losing record. But it was more than the success on the field. The Cowboys became America's team, a band of football players who embodied the hope and prosperity of the frontier West. They were all swagger and oil money and bleach blonde cheerleaders dancing through yet another win. And the Cowboys won a lot.
On third and goal, Staubach. Touchdown, Mike Ditka.
This is January 16th, 1972, Tulane Stadium, the old Sugar Bowl in New Orleans. This is the day the Cowboys win their first ever Super Bowl. As the clock winds down on a 24-3 victory over the Dolphins, the players lift the only coach the franchise has ever known onto their shoulders to carry him off the field.
Within now only 5 seconds of the championship of the National Football League, winner of the Vince Lombardi Trophy, and the man they say is unemotional, Tom Landry, the only coach the Cowboys have ever had. Tom Landry, a most happy man, is carried off the field by his players.
But by the late 1980s, moments in the sun, moments like this Super Bowl victory, were looking pretty small in the rearview mirror. The Cowboys had gotten old in the mid-80s. They missed the playoffs and finished with losing records repeatedly. Tom Landry's offense, once innovative, looked dated as West Coast offenses and the run-and-shoot invaded the NFL. And the Cowboys' owner, Bum Bright, was facing serious financial issues.
The announcement came on Saturday night. The Dallas Cowboys were being sold for an estimated $140 million, and with the new owner was coming a new head coach. Well, that means the end of the trail for the man who for three turbulent decades shaped what came to be called America's team.
Bob, this is February 25th, 1989. Bum Bright has sold the team to an oil baron named Jerry Jones, who played on a national title football team at Arkansas in the 1960s. Jerry Jones' first order of business is firing Tom Landry, the first and only coach in Cowboys history. To replace him, Jones calls on one of his former Arkansas teammates, a guy who's become a pretty good coach in his own right.
This is what you worked for all this time. We got 75,000, there's one in every seat, and they came here to see Hurricane football. Oh, yeah. Get after them on offense. Make sure it's a complete ball game today. A complete.
If the Cowboys' traditional swagger felt like American West hope and prosperity, Jimmy Johnson brought a different energy. It was swagger no less, but more brash, South Beach style. And that swagger helped power the Miami Hurricanes to a national championship in 1987.
That will do it. It's in the books now as the Hurricanes will win 20-14. The Sooners powerless to stop the clock. And
when Johnson took the top job with the Cowboys, he'd spent the last few years coaching and playing against the best college football players of that generation. And, if his actions were any indication, he arrived in Dallas intent on grabbing as many of those great college players as possible through the NFL draft. The decision to trade Herschel Walker, just five games into his tenure as the Cowboys coach, was all about getting as many picks as possible.
The Cowboys said goodbye to Herschel Walker and hello to the future. Although the 1988 All-Pro is not a one-man team, it nearly took a team to acquire him.
The fundamentals behind the trade were draft picks for the future to build for the Dallas Cowboys. But
a lot of people know about the Herschel Walker trade, and a lot of people vaguely know that it set the Cowboys up for future success. But who exactly did they get? The trade involved a lot of moving parts. Six players and 12 draft choices exchanged among teams. The Cowboys ultimately drafted five players with the picks they received.
About Scranton, there may be a trade with Pittsburgh and Dallas.
Pittsburgh
Let's see.
Has been on the clock, but Pittsburgh has traded this choice to Dallas.
First, they used Minnesota's first-round pick in 1990 to move up from number 21 to number 17 overall, where they draft a running back from Florida. Maybe you've heard of him.
Dallas selects Emmitt Smith, running back from Florida.
Emmitt Smith, of course, will go on to become the NFL's all-time leading rusher. In 1991, they use Minnesota's first-round pick to move up to number one overall, where they take Russell Maryland, a defensive tackle from Miami.
On their faces. First of all, you, Russell, you're going back home. Jimmy Johnson, Dave Wannstedt, Coach Butch Davis, all the guys from Dallas, from Miami, are with Dallas.
Yes, they are. I'm very, very excited about it. It's funny how life goes around in circles, and I can expect good things to happen. Everything is positive, and I'd like to thank the Dallas Cowboys organization.
Maryland will become a starter and a Pro Bowler for the Cowboys. In 1992, they used Minnesota's first-round pick to get two picks from New England, a first-rounder and a second-rounder. They used the first-round selection to grab a cornerback from Texas A&M.
Well, here's the commissioner.
With the 17th pick, the Dallas Cowboys select Kevin Smith, defensive back, Texas A&M.
Kevin Smith will become a starter as a rookie and pick off 19 passes across a nine-season career with the team. They used the second-round selection on a linebacker from Arizona State who ESPN's Chris Berman has never heard of.
Dallas's selection on a choice from New England is Darren Woodson,
defensive back, Arizona State. Pittsburgh is up.
That's a good pick, Chris.
Now comes the part of the draft when we say, Mel?
That's a good pick. I think, you know, Darren Woodson was a guy that a lot of people, when we talk about those pure football players, Chuck Smith's still there, but Darren Woodson was a guy, played kind of a that banded gator back of Godfrey Miles that we see in vogue now in college football, outside linebacker.
Jimmy Johnson will move Darren Woodson to safety, where he'll make 5 Pro Bowls and 3 All-Pro teams. Woodson's likely to make the Hall of Fame someday. The last Minnesota pick the Cowboys use is the Vikings' second-round pick in 1992. Dallas takes Clayton Holmes, a cornerback from Carson Newman. Holmes will become the fastest player on the 1992 team and a key contributor on special teams.
So a big game, even though it's opening night for the Skins against the Dallas team, Dan, 2 years ago. They win 1, then they win 7, then they win 11. What next?
What's next? Well, to listen to Jimmy Johnson and the folks who live here in Dallas, it's nothing less than an appearance in the National Football Conference championship game.
And the Cowboys didn't just use those picks from the Herschel Walker trade. Across the 1990, 91, and 92 drafts, they wheel and deal and scoop up other selections too, drafting guys like Alvin Harper, Eric Williams, Leon Lett, Dixon Edwards, Robert Jones, Godfrey Miles, and future Super Bowl MVP Larry Brown. In 1990, the Cowboys get a little better, going 7-9 and narrowly missing the postseason. In 1991, they go 10-6 and make the playoffs, even knocking off the Bears in the wild card round before losing at Detroit. By the end of the 1992 season, the Cowboys are 13-3, and they're clearly the best team in football.
Kevin Smith.
They show everyone on this date, January 17th, 1993. This is the NFC Championship game in the rain and mud against the San Francisco 49ers at Candlestick Park. The 49ers were the NFL's team of the 1980s, winning 4 Super Bowl championships. Now it's the Cowboys' turn. Dallas is up by 4, and 1989 first-round draft choice Troy Aikman is about to connect with 1991 first-round draft choice Alvin Harper for a 70-yard catch and run that sets up the game-clinching touchdown.
First and 10, Dallas. Smith and Johnston behind Aikman. Aikman quickly. The pass to Harper. Harper off to the races. They're going to run him down, however. At about the 9-yard line, Dana Hall.
In the locker room after the game, Jimmy Johnson addresses the team that he built through the draft, and he utters these iconic words.
Everybody, you did one hell of a job, and the only thing else I got to say is, how about them Cowboys? Yeah! Yeah!
I was only 8 years old when the Herschel Walker trade went down, but I remember those terrible Cowboys teams. The thought of Dallas dominating opponents and winning a Super Bowl was unfathomable until I saw it for myself.
Fumble forced by teammate Leon Lett. Officially the 18-yard line, the spot. Aikman to Irvin again. Touchdown!
This is Super Bowl 27, just 2 weeks after the win over the 49ers at Candlestick Park. It's an out-of-body experience for Cowboys fans who weren't alive to see the Tom Landry glory days. The Cowboys are playing at the Rose Bowl against the Buffalo Bills, and they just keep scoring. They score rushing the ball. They score on long passes. They score on short passes. They score on 2 fumble returns, nearly 3. And Jimmy Johnson's draft picks from the Herschel Walker trade are in the middle of it all. There's Emmitt Smith rushing for a touchdown. There are Darren Woodson and Russell Maryland picking up multiple tackles. Kevin Smith returns kicks. Clayton Holmes recovers a fumble. This 1992 team is the best one that Jerry Jones has had as owner. It's likely the best team in franchise history. The Cowboys beat the Bills 52-17. They win another Super Bowl the next season, after which Jerry Jones inexplicably parts ways with Jimmy Johnson. Running on the fumes of the talent Jimmy Johnson accrued during his short tenure, the Cowboys win it all again in January 1996. And they haven't been to a conference championship game, much less the Super Bowl, since then. Every other NFC team has been to the conference title game in that span, but not the Cowboys. For the team that was once the NFL's answer to the NBA Celtics and MLB's Yankees, it's been three decades of misplaced hope and utter mediocrity. This episode started with a Packers game that ended in a demoralizing loss for the Cowboys. It might as well end that way, too.
Here's a fifth for Jones. Big seam up the middle. First down and more. And he's
it's January 14th, 2024. The Cowboys, winners of the NFC East, are hosting the Green Bay Packers in the first round of the playoffs. And they're getting obliterated like it's 1989.
Love. Jones getting near the goal line. Is he in? He is! Touchdown, Green Bay, on the opening drive.
It's 27-7 at halftime. It's 34-16 after the third quarter. The final score makes the game look closer than it is, but the Packers score at will, just as easily as the Cowboys scored on the Bills in that Super Bowl in Pasadena. And the fans have kind of gotten used to it. Each year, the Cowboys play in a stadium that's built the wrong direction, creating a glare that's cost the team more than one touchdown. They play in a stadium that's more known for the world-class art on its walls than for the great moments that have taken place on the field. And they play in a stadium with one of the world's largest jumbotrons. That stadium fills up year after year after year, no matter how hard the team is to watch. Jerry Jones still owns the Cowboys, but the urgency that led to the draft pick wheeling and dealing that ultimately led to three Super Bowl titles is completely gone. While other NFL general managers are working around the clock, watching film, and pulling every possible lever to give their teams the best chance to win a title, the Cowboys general manager is busy promoting prize fights on Netflix and making cameos on Landman. For those of us who love the Cowboys, who still remember the teams that embodied the hope and prosperity of the American West, the start of each season means resignation, if not outright dread. It's more fun to queue up a Super Bowl Sunday from many decades ago and to remember what it was like when the Cowboys were clearly the best in all of football. You've been listening to Sports Wax, a documentary series brought to you by GrumpyBuck.com, GrumpyBuck.com. Subscribe to get new episodes that share a sports memory with a heavy dose of nostalgia each week.